Welcome to the Honesty Talks podcast. I am so glad you are joining the conversation today. I hope that you will dig deep with us, think honestly, and allow God to challenge us. As we explore, it is my hope that we grow and see more together. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Honesty podcast. And right now we are actually going to be doing a series of everyday devotionals for counting the Omer in this season between Easter, Passover, Easter, Shavuot, and Pentecost. So there's this period of time that in the Jewish tradition they count what is called the Omer. And today to help, actually for the next couple weeks, I have Jessica with me here, Jessica Larrabee, to help us walk through this every day for the next 3 weeks. So I'm going to hand it over to Jessica to say hi and actually explain what is an Omer.
Hi, yes. I would like to state that the Omer is 7 weeks, but we are starting in already at week 5, so we'll be doing the last 3 weeks of it. And the reason that we're okay with already starting halfway through is because an Omer is the amount that will fill you spiritually. So it is the perfect amount that will give you how much you need, and it will last for how long you need it. So no matter where you start, enter into it, you will still get what you need out of counting the Omer and sitting in what it means and reflecting with God on what the Omer will bring to you.
Awesome. And the historical reference to the Omer is, first it's used in Exodus to refer to the amount of manna taken every day. So that's kind of the spiritual filling that you're talking about.
Yes.
And historically, it was used to count down the days from Passover to when the people gathered around Mount Sinai in the Old Testament. And this throughout time, also when the temple was operational, built, they used this period of time from Passover until Shavuot, which is first fruits, to count grain offerings and what they would offer to God, their first fruits.
Yes, and the first use is in Exodus 16, and that is something we like to do a lot, is look at where's the first use in the Bible. So that is where we get the definition from, is related to counting the manna. And it also relates to if you count the Omer, but then try to hoard it and control it for yourself, it becomes rotten and stinks, which is what happens if they tried to keep the manna for too long. So it is the balance of holding what God has given you, but not trying to control it.
Awesome. And there is a lot of historical references too, of like counting the Omer is, in history, it was an agricultural society. And so offering first fruits of their harvest was a big deal because it was everything that they did. It was how they lived. They grew all of their own food, and they offered the first fruits of that to God. And the Omer, in where it first shows up in scripture, the word Omer, using to count, is in Exodus, but it's in the spiritual sense of counting the amount of manna God provided for the people. And so that's how that is like hooking together, that there's this, it is really the spiritual context in what we are counting in ourselves and leading up to being at the mountain of God with the people of God. And also, what are we offering during this time frame in first fruits? And then following the Mount Sinai in first fruits time is Pentecost. It's like a couple days after that and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that all these things, like the timelines that don't happen all at once, they happen through time, are not happening on accident.
Correct, yes. And when we look at Exodus 16, it says, it is enough to fill your head and your soul. So it's really emphasizing on God's provision being enough for you physically, but also being enough for you spiritually, mentally, and just really how you inhabit the space with time and trusting that God's provision will continue to come.
And also with the historical context of offering grain, it's also the work of your hands is what's needed to be surrendered to God too. It isn't just about taking, there's a relationship. I think that the historical and, well, they're both historical because manna happened way before offering of grain, but like throughout time, that there's a both.
And I think it teaches us how to hold the passing of time better. Like, we are just leaving Passover, which is about what are you leaving during this season? And then it teaches us how to be mindful with our time as we move forward and as we're leaving out of this space, and just the intentionality of being present with God so we don't go back into the narrow place that we just left.
Mm. And for those of you who are listening and might not know what Passover is about, to give you a little background, Passover is 7-8 days long, and it is a whole week. And we celebrate during this time the exodus of the people from Egypt. And Egypt in the Hebrew is Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim means narrow place. So there is a large spiritual truth to every year at Passover. We are looking at what are the narrow places that we have become slaves to. We work worshiping, serving other things other than God that we need to leave in life. And those can be spiritual realities, and they can also be physical realities. They can be jobs, relationships, things we believe about ourselves that we need to leave. So in this season where we've identified things to leave, counting the Omer is then a way to be more intentional and present with yourself and to not fall back into those patterns, mm-hmm. and really to make space for growth and what God brings. So as we are making this journey and counting the Omer, there is a structure and how we meditate on this and count it every day. And it involves prayers and a structure. So I'm going to let Jessica explain the structure of counting the Omer.
Yes, there are 7 different themes, and each week has its own theme, and each day has its own theme. And so you sit in what the weekly meaning is overall, as well as you sit in what the daily meaning is and how that plays a part into the weekly meaning.
So how it intersects. Awesome. And there's, when we're doing this, there's room for whatever God is speaking to you as you are counting, mm-hmm. and those weekly themes and daily themes, how they intersect. There'll be things that God points out to you that really stick with you. And really, it's a practice of hearing.
Mm-hmm. Hearing where God is leading you and what you need, because what Trin might need is different from what I need and what I'm going to get out of the counting.
So we want this to be a richness of space that's provided as we count the Omer, that there's room for individually we're going to encounter that differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just hope that you get a lot of richness out of these devotionals. We're going to share how we both interact with it, which is very different, and that there's room for how God may be moving in you in the counting of the Omer, mm-hmm. as well.
Good evening. It is April 27th. After sunset, because that is when we count for the next day. And this week's theme is Hod. And Hod, again, is splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, and surrender. And the color that goes with it is lavender.
And the day we are on is Tif Eret, which means beauty, harmony, compassion, truth, proportion, and the balance of loving kindness and strength. Mm. And the color that's associated with it is yellow. So I feel like these go together really.
I was going to say, even just like looking at the color, like if we start there, like lavender and yellow, like when I see those two colors together, like it just makes me feel really happy and calm. Like they're both colors of like peace even. And they're found together in nature a lot. Like how many flowers have like lavender and yellow in them and put together in bouquets. Like
I think of some of the most beautiful sunsets I've ever seen have been lavender and yellow.
Mm.
Like mm-hmm. when the clouds are like lavenderish,
mm-hmm.
and the yellow.
I feel like the lavender brings such a sense of almost like a peace and calming, and then the yellow brings just like the beauty and the joy in with it, and it goes mm-hmm. perfectly with like you get peace from empathy, humility, service, surrender, splendor, and glory. And you get joy within the beauty and the harmony and the compassion, the truth, the proportion, and the balance.
And I think when I think of yellow, I think of balance and proportion. I also think of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for some reason, I associate that to the color already. So, like, when I've been meditating on this, it's like, of course it's yellow. Like, I have no idea. And I do associate harmony with it and beauty. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think there's like a portion of, like, the sun is yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun brings, like, vegetation.
Mm-hmm.
I know this sounds like super sciencey and geeky, the photosynthesis, and causes plants to grow. But, like, there's a beauty that comes because there's like, yellow is present.
Absolutely.
Brightness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, new life, life of a new day, maybe even the closing of a day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's associated with, like, but there's life to come.
Yeah. I think of the harmony with yellow, too, just because, like, I like to garden. Like, I have a giant vegetable garden I do, which, I mean, I guess some of it's technically a fruit. Different conversation. But, like, I think of the bees I need for my garden are yellow. And I think of, like, a lot of the flowers that then produce the fruit are yellow. And so, like, the harmony of the yellow with the yellow to create just this beautiful food that God has given us, and just the balance of, you need the right balance of water and sun, and just how much goes actually into creating.
Well, I'm glad that bees produce some kind of food instead of just kill me. So,
different kind of bee.
Yeah. Different kind of bee. But just saying.
Save the bees.
Say, I do agree with that. Even though bees could kill me, I still believe we need to save the bees. And I'm obsessed with bees.
Mm-hmm.
It's very weird. It also has to do with, like, my name.
Save the bumblebees. Get rid of the wasps.
Yeah. The wasps cannot kill Trin. But I think there's, like, this harmony, balance, like, proportion. Of course all of those go together. And, like, what is the compassion we're showing in relationship to harmony, beauty, truth, proportion, and balance,
mm-hmm.
within the day? Because those are all in the day. And, oh, compassion and truth?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. I always got to think about the compassion and truth because I love truth, but it needs to be spoken with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And that those go with the balance of loving kindness and strength. That in order to have compassion and truth, you need to balance a mixture of loving kindness, but also strength.
Ooh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think about that.
Because there's a way to deliver just anything, but especially, like, hard news or stuff that people don't want to hear. You have to have the strength to say it and to stay firm in it, but also do it in a way that's loving where people will still hear it, and have the balance of that for people to receive the truth of your message.
Absolutely. And I think there's, like, proportion really hits me, mm-hmm. because I think proportion and balance. So it's not just, I think it'd have been easy just to say balance,
mm-hmm.
but, like, proportion is, like, I think of, like, food portions, like,
mm-hmm.
portioning out. I also think of, like, that, I think of Hannah,
mm.
and the fact that she is the wife that's crying out for a child and wants to be a mother. And that whole, like, she receives a double portion even in her suffering.
Mm-hmm. And Hannah is associated with the Hod. So the fact that it's the splendor, glory, empathy, humility, service, and surrender is what she's associated with, and that she receives a double proportion because of her humility and her surrendering.
Yeah. And I didn't even look that Hannah was there.
Mm.
Oh, my brain just went right there, y'all. I'm going to take them Torah points.
Do it. Instant connection.
But, like, I really do think of her in this story of the double portion,
mm-hmm.
and the fact that the humility and service and surrender, Hannah had to do all of that, because when Hannah was, short story long, I'm going to summarize. Hannah wants a child, is barren, is crying out for it, is suffering. The other wife, Panay, is just like, look at all my children, Hannah. Oh, and you ain't got nothing. And it's just like this irritant. And
mm-hmm.
Panay actually means, like, pearl or irritant, right? So there's this happening, and she goes to the temple, Hannah does, and she cries out to God in the temple. Like, we're used to displays of emotion like that in maybe places of worship, but that was not acceptable back then.
No. Nope.
They even think she's drunk. Like, the priest is like,
go home.
Go home, you're drunk.
Yep.
And she's like, I am not drunk. And she, what she says is, she is crying out for a seed for the people. So there's something that in Hannah is this realization that the thing that she wants the most is also that the people are lost, and there needs to be a seed for the people. And her child ends up being Samuel,
mm-hmm.
who is one of the greatest prophets
yep.
of the Old Testament, and ends up like in some very pivotal moments
mm-hmm.
doing some huge things. But the service and surrender and humility in it is she was humble enough to recognize that a seed is needed for the people, and they're humble enough to recognize that it wasn't just her need that was needed.
Mm. And that once her kid got old enough that she kept her promise to God and surrendered the child that she prayed for so long.
Right. She literally gave him up.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that time you give him into the service of being raised at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave up her child. Talk about surrender.
Yeah.
Like, not only, God, am I going to allow my own yearning for this thing to be, but I'm also going to hold that it needs to be for the people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine. Like, I have two kids. I don't think I'd be all Hannah. I'd be like, get off my babies.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, I think the same thing. I don't have kids, but I mean, if you talk to your daughter, she says she's my kid and gets mad when I said I don't have kids. So like, when I think of them too, and it's like, I wouldn't let anything happen to them, and I definitely wouldn't let some stranger raise them. Like,
right. And but on and all the beauty that came out of her decision
mm-hmm.
and her surrender.
Yeah.
And that her son would be the one to anoint the king that would bring the fullness of the tribes back together.
Mm-hmm.
Or like Israel together as one.
Yeah.
Like David, King David, obviously. And the trajectory that's set forward. And the truth.
Mm-hmm.
As we're talking about Hannah, and she is associated with Hod, because not only is there a color, there's also people associated, biblical figures associated,
mm-hmm.
which we probably should have mentioned in the last two, but it's relevant now. but like Hannah is very associated with this week theme. Yep.
Hannah and Aaron.
Yeah. And then I think if I look at it like, Ruth and Jacob are associated with
Tiferet.
Yes. So talk about balance and proportion. Like, Jacob's like entire life is about wrestling
mm-hmm.
with God and with people, but he's able, like, his name changed, like, he's the father of the tribes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So like, his whole life is about a struggle of, I feel like, is a struggle of like truth, proportion, balance.
Absolutely. And I think even compassion for himself.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. That compassion is really sticking out to me. Like, I think it's easy to say compassion makes sense with the empathy, the humility, the service, and the surrender. But like, compassion with splendor, compassion with glory, like, those right now are really speaking to me of like, I feel like that's just teaching you, like, regardless of, like, you can celebrate whatever positive you're sitting in, but be able to hold that, like, not everyone's gonna feel the same way. Like, have compassion in the positive in your life as well.
Yeah, that compassion is really smacking me, and balance mm-hmm. and proportion. I feel like those things are like, yeah. And just the beauty piece, I think, the beauty in empathy, the beauty in humility, the beauty in service, and the beauty in surrender
mm-hmm.
is another thing that's really smacking me in the face.
The way that this Tiferet day goes with the Hod week, like, I just, in my head, I hear like nice harp music playing. Like, it's just really like calm and peaceful. And
so like, if we were to put music, not just colors and people, to the theme, it would be harp music mm-hmm. for Tiferet.
Yep. Just painting the whole picture here.
Oh, no. See, I would add, like, can I add a scene?
Do it.
Like, harp music in, like, have you ever seen the movie The Secret Garden? Not the new one, the old one.
No, I didn't even know there was a new or old one.
There is. There's a new one out and it has Colin Firth in it, but who, I love that actor. But there is the old one. Like, I don't even know it was made. Maybe she wasn't even alive. I don't even know. I'm old. But, like, the entrance of this, like, giant garden that's, like, you know, English. Mm-hmm. Kind of, like, English countryside. Tons of flowers. Like, just...
Perfectly groomed.
Yeah. And, like, ponds and water and just roses coming out your ears and all different types of flowers. And you get on a swing and you're swinging it. Like, in a garden... Like that with the harp.
And swans swimming on the pond.
Heck yeah, that's me right
Perfection.
There.
Perfection.
Tiferet, right there. Mm-hmm. We're swinging. That's what I get. Mm. I feel like it's peaceful.
And just that, like, there's a balance of that. Like, we can't always sit in that.
Well, that's like tomorrow we won't be.
Nope.
So you better sit in it today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's your mental picture, if that's what God is, like, maybe a picture of what God's maybe giving us. And I think, like, it's funny. We came into this and it's like, oh, I see it this way and sit in the Omer this way and I sit in it this way. And now I feel like we're on the third day of the podcast and now I feel like we're crossing into how each other sits in it.
Yep. Absolutely.
How cool is that?
Yeah, because I feel your challenge of, like, I'm looking at the words that stand out to me, but then I'm also looking at how they all play with each other. And I think, I mean, going back to, like, how there's compassion and glory of, like, surrendering, like, yes, you can be happy and enjoy it, but I think it's also the balance and the beauty in it of, like, some people go so far the other way that when something positive happens they can't even enjoy it at all. And I think that there's the balance of you do need to enjoy it because God is giving you that joy and that wonderful thing that's happening, and there's, like, the fine balance of enjoying it but also knowing that it's a balance and a proportion and it will be for the time.
Well, and there's just this, so maybe we don't rush things so much so we can actually be present to what's happening in the moment. And there's the beauty, the splendor, compassion, proportion, balance, humility, surrender, glory, splendor, like all of that in today. And can we be present enough to just hold it? Because tomorrow will bring something else.
Absolutely.
And can I, like, sit in the beauty of, like, we're like creating this picture together of, like, this garden and this, the music that would go in there and the, like, the beauty of that.
And it's being present to each day and sitting in each day, but also knowing the fuller picture that we're counting towards and holding both.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Well, we're talking about intentionality. I feel like intentionality and presence is really what the Omer is about, counting the Omer. I mean, one of the many things, but it's one of the main themes is, like, can I be intentional and present?
Absolutely. Now I want a garden. I'm kind of sad that it's only the end of April. I got to wait another 2 weeks.
I know. I want a harp in a garden. So I think this is a good place to end it. Like, we wish you harps and gardens and or whatever else God is speaking to you.
Beauty upon your day.
And blessings. I hope today's conversation has been deep and transformative. Please consider becoming a Patreon supporter to help us continue and expand the Honesty Talks podcast. When you are a Patreon supporter, you will get to be a part of our online community. You can also get other great things like early access to episodes, participating in polls, and making suggestions on future podcast topics, and so much more. For more information and to donate, go to patreon.com/honesty_talks. Thank you for listening and join us next time.